Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something very modern DNB and very practical, bass modulation scenes from scratch, using only Ableton stock devices, and then performing those scenes with automation and arrangement. The big mindset shift is this. In drum and bass, your bass usually isn't one perfect patch. It's a small system. A few repeatable behaviors you can switch between on purpose. That's how you get call and response, drop evolution, fills, energy ramps without rewriting your MIDI every 8 bars. By the end, you'll have one instrument rack called DNB bass scenes with two layers, a sub that never changes character, and a mid layer that does all the talking. Then you'll create 3 to 5 scenes using macro variations, and you'll automate a couple of key macros so it feels performed, not static. Alright, let's set the room up. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Create a MIDI track and name it bass. If you've got a simple drum loop or a kick and snare reference, drop it in. It's optional, but it helps a lot because modulation only feels good when it respects the snare, respects the gaps, and locks to the grid in a musical way. At 174, 8th notes and 16th notes are your best friends. Now on your bass track, drop an instrument rack. Open the chain list and create 2 chains. Name the first one SUB. Name the second one MID. We'll build the sub first, because this is where a lot of people accidentally lose power. The rule is, the sub stays boring on purpose. Mono, stable, no fancy modulation. On the SUB chain, add operator. Set it to the simplest algorithm, oscillator A only. Set OSCA to sine. Make sure fixed is off. Now set the amp envelope so it plays cleanly. Attack at 0. Release somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds. That release is important. Too short and you'll click. Too long and overlapping notes can smear the low end. If your bass line overlaps notes and you hear the sub getting inconsistent, you either shorten the MIDI notes or you keep things more legato and controlled. The sub is where you want phase boring. After operator, add EQ8. We're low passing the sub so it doesn't compete with the mid. Roll off everything above roughly 120 to 180 Hz. Use a fairly steep slope. You're basically saying, sub chain does sub, nothing else. Then add utility. Set width to 0%. That's non-negotiable if you want your track to survive clubs, cars, and mono playback. Set the gain so it's strong but not clipping the track. Cool. Sub done. Now the fun part. The mid layer. On the MID chain, add wave-eatable. Start simple. Pick a harmonic rich wave-eatable for OSC 1. Basic shape saw is a classic, but feel free to go nastier later. Keep OSC 2 off for the moment. Enable unison with 2 to 4 voices, but keep the amount low, like 10 to 25%. We want some size, not instant chaos. Now go to the filter. Choose LP24 for clean, or MS2 if you want a more aggressive bite. Put the cutoff somewhere around 200 to 600 Hz as a starting point, and add a little drive, like 2 to 6 dB. After wave-eatable, add saturator. Set the mode to analog clip. Turn soft clip on, and push drive maybe 3 to 8 dB. This is where DNB bass starts to hold together in a mix. Saturation gives you harmonics and consistency. Then add EQ8, high pass around 80 to 120 Hz, because again, the sub chain owns the sub. If it's honky, try a small notch around 250 to 400 Hz, but keep it subtle. Don't over-EQ before you even hear it in the drums. Now let's turn this rack into an instrument you can actually perform. Go to the rack macros and create 8 macros. Name them like this. Scene 0 100. Rate. Depth. Tone filter. Drive. Restatune slash spread. Formant slash phaser. Sub level. Now we'll map the important ones. Map sub level to the utility gain on the SUB chain. This gives you instant control for breakdowns, fills, or if you ever need to tuck the sub slightly, when the mid gets crazy. Map tone to the wave-eatable filter frequency on the MID chain. Set a useful range, a minimum around 150 Hz, and a maximum anywhere from 2.5K to 5K depending on how bright you want your bass to get. Don't just leave it full range or you'll make automation that's impossible to control. Map drive to the saturator drive. Give it a range like 2 dB minimum to 12 dB maximum. Now for Reese. Turn on OSC 2 in wave-eatable and set it to a saw. Keep detune small. Then map your Reese macro to a couple of things that create that classic spread and grind without destroying the sub. Map OSC 2 level from basically off up to maybe minus 12 dB-ish. Map unison amount from around 10% up to maybe 35%. If you want, you can also map a tiny pitch detune or spread-related control, but keep it subtle. Reese is powerful and easy to overdo. For formant slash phaser, add phaser flanger after the EQ on the MID chain. Set it to phaser mode. You can start with a slow rate like 0.05 to 0.30 HC for drifting movement. And we'll worry about sync later. Map macro 7 to facer amount, and if you want a bit more attitude, also map it lightly to feedback. At this point, you have a solid base architecture. Now we add the modulation sources that make it feel like DNB. Back inside Waveeditable, enable LFO1. Turn sync on. Set the rate to 1/8 to start, because that's a classic rolling pace. Use a sine or triangle shape for smooth movement. Assign LFO1 to the filter frequency with a modest amount. Think 10 to 30 as a starting point. You can always push it later, but too much LFO depth is one of the fastest ways to make your bass feel amazing in solo and messy in the actual track. Now map macro rate to LFO1 rate, with a range like 1/16 up to 1/2. And map macro depth to LFO amount, from 0 up to whatever feels like the edge of control. Quick teacher note here, if your modulation feels like it's not landing on the grid, check LFO retrig. Retrig on gives you that tight, repeatable wobble that hits the same way every note. Retrig off gives you a drifting feel that's awesome for race movement. Neither is correct. Pick based on the scene you're building. Next, we'll add that snappy yoy or peck without drawing automation every note. Use envelope 2 in Waveeditable and assign it to the filter frequency, or sometimes the Waveeditable position, if you want more vowel-like character. Set envelope 2 attack to basically 0 to 10 milliseconds, decay around 80 to 250 milliseconds, sustain at 0, and set an amount that feels like a quick bite at the start of each note. This is the sound design equivalent of adding consonants to a word. It helps the bass speak through fast drums. Now that the rack is built, we're going to turn it into scenes using macro variations. This is the cleanest workflow because it's recallable, and it keeps you from automation spaghetti. Open macro variations on the rack. We're going to make 5 variations. The exact numbers don't matter. What matters is that each one has a job. First variation, roll. Set rate to 1/8. Depth around 15 to 25%. Tone somewhere controlled, like 300 to 800 HC. Drive Myrit, 4 to 7 dB. Reese low, formant slash facer low, sub level at 0 dB. This is your default groove scene. It should feel like it can play for 16 bars without annoying you. Second variation, wobble. Make rate slower, like 1/4, or try a dotted feel if you like that swing. Increase depth to maybe 35 to 60%. Open tone slightly. Drive similar. Reese low to medium. This one should feel like bigger motion, not necessarily louder. Third variation, yoy or peck. Make rate faster, like 1/16 or 1/8 depending on the rhythm. Depth 20 to 40%. Tone higher, but be careful with harshness. Drive higher like 8 to 12 dB. Bring in some formant slash facer. And if you want it more staccato, shorten the amp release a bit so it bites. If it gets clicky, you can later tame it with a tiny bit of limiting or fast compression on the MID chain only. The snare still needs to win. Fourth variation. Reese drift. Push the Reese macro higher so OSC 2 and unison contribute more. Set the facer to a slow drift with a decent amount, like 40 to 60%. Keep tone more mid-focused, not too bright. Keep LFO depth lower, because the drift itself is the motion. This scene is about width and movement in the mids, while the sub stays mono and stable. Fifth variation. Fill or build. This is your hype switch. Open tone up, push drive, set rate faster like 1/16, depth medium high. And here's a mix trick. Consider reducing sub level just slightly in this scene so your mid character can cut without the whole track overloading. It's not always necessary, but it's a great option to have. Now do a quick macro scene hygiene check. Turn your monitoring down. Seriously, lower the volume. At low volume, loudness differences jump out. Flip through the variations. If one scene feels louder, don't fix it with a track fader, because then your automation becomes unpredictable. Fix it inside the rack. Easiest method, add a utility at the end of the MID chain and adjust gain per variation until the perceived loudness is consistent. Alright, now we perform it in arrangement, which is where this becomes music. Press it to show automation. You have two main approaches. Option 1 is automating macros directly. This is universal and precise. The goal is not to automate everything. The goal is to automate a few macros that read as intentional performance, rate, depth, tone, drive, and maybe sub-level. Here's a simple 32-bar drop plan you can steal. Bars 1 to 8, stay on the roll scene. Maybe tiny tone movement, but keep it controlled. Bars 9 to 16, switch toward wobble. Increase depth slightly. Don't go crazy, just make the motion feel bigger. Bars 17 to 24, bring in YOY slash peck as call and response. And this is important, Use space. Leave a hole on the last eighth note before the snare, or right after it. That negative space makes the bass sound heavier than adding more notes. Bars 25 to 32. Go re-strift. And then in the last two bars hit fill slash build. Open tone, spike drive on a last hit, then snap back. Option 2 is automating macro variation selection, if your version of Live supports it as an automatable parameter. If you can, awesome. You can literally switch scenes like a movie cut. If you can't, the pro workaround is simple. Duplicate an 8-bar section, switch the macro variation manually, and keep moving. Clean, fast, reliable. Now glue, because even the best scene system can fall apart if it's not sitting with the drums. After the instrument rack on the bass track, add a compressor. Turn on sidechain and feed it from the kick. Ratio around 3:1:5:1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release about 50 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Subtle. You're not trying to make it pump like house unless that's your aesthetic. You're trying to make the kick and bass cooperate. Optionally, add multi-band dynamics after that. Lightly, as a safety net, especially if one scene is more aggressive in the mids. The goal isn't to squash, it's to keep transitions between scenes controlled. Now let's troubleshoot the common stuff before it wastes your time. First, modulating the sub. If your sub is wobbling or phasing wildly, your low end will collapse on real systems. Keep the sub mono and steady. All the movement lives in the mid. Second, too much LFO depth. If the snare loses impact, your bass is probably flailing into the same space. Reduce depth, or close tone specifically to around snare hits. Tiny dips after the snare can feel insanely professional, and you barely have to do anything. Third, level mismatches between scenes. If your fill scene is 6 dB louder, it'll feel amateur fast. Level match inside the rack. Fourth, overwide bass. Width is allowed, but it belongs above the sub. If you want a quick mono check using stock only, temporarily, put a utility on the master and toggle width between 0 and 100%. If your drop loses the entire hook in mono, pull back unison and phaser, or keep the width energy higher up with EQ. This audio version is shortened for playback.